At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Traders Wrap-Up Podcast. We're here today to talk about Traders Australia Season 2, Episode 5 and 6, aka Holy Smokes. This was both the best episodes and the most frustrating episodes of Traders I have ever watched, and I cannot wait to dip into all it with all of you. I am, of course, the Sultan of Suspicion, Puyazen Vakili, ready to break things down once more. And with me today, we have, of course, the lovely, the irreplaceable, kind of a suspect, Peridium. Peridium, how are you doing?
Okay, Puya. It's been a few days since I've watched these two episodes of Traders AU Season 2. And, you know, I tend to ruminate, think about how I wanted to talk about this. This is not what I was anticipating talking about going into this podcast, especially after the first four episodes. But, you know, the recipe's there. We should have seen this coming, I guess. I prepared a brief statement, if you don't mind. I would like to read it out.
Please. Floor is yours. Floor is yours.
Okay. Go ahead. I figured I want to get this out now at the top of the podcast instead of, you know, at the end when it's too late and the numbers are against me. To the faithfuls of the Traders AU Season 2, what you have just done is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever seen in over 100 seasons of competitive reality TV. At no point in your rambling, incoherent actions were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone who has watched these past two episodes is now dumber for having seen them. I award you no silver bars, and may God have mercy on your souls. And that's all I've got to say.
Wow, chilling. A chill has taken over the room. Now, if I may take the stand, and also I have prepared a statement.
Okay.
You dummies! You dummies! You absolute dummies! Dummies! What is this? Why? How? Oh my God. That took a lot out of me.
Yeah.
But I
well said too as well.
I worked all night on it. I feel better that it's out now.
Oh boy. This was a roller coaster of 2 hours watching episodes 5 and 6 back to back. I don't know. I'm like, I have more notes on just episode 5 than I do throughout all of 1 through 4. So we probably should just jump into it. I don't know if you want to, like, do we start at the top? I just quickly want to mention, because I was looking at my notes before we hopped on and I was like, oh, right, we lost Roha.
Yeah, poor Roha. Wanted to be remembered as more than just the blue shirt guy, will forever be remembered as the one who got murdered on Annabelle's banishment episode.
I was like kind of bewildered by him getting. I really thought Luke was going to go. But I was
Here's the thing. We said it would be dumb if they kept Luke in. It would be a huge mistake if they kept Luke in.
It would be.
This is now the third episode of us covering the show together. It's the second time where we have left the previous podcast with us each predicting opposite sides of things. First time around, you were like, I thought Ash will prevail. You said, I thought Sam will prevail. This next time around, I said, I think Annabelle will prevail. You said Sam will prevail. I would like to maintain point of contention that I wasn't wrong. It had no business working as good as it has. It really has not had any business working this way, but it has. My God. Okay, so I don't know where to begin, because 5 was truthfully, and I tweeted this out, one of the best episodes of The Traitors period of any franchise.
Oh, for sure. 100%. Incredibly frustrating, but I think that's okay.
Incredible. It was so much fun. I don't think we've ever seen anything quite like it, and I know we're going to tuck into it. And then episode 6 was baffling, because so I had watched episode 5 on Monday, and then I had meant to watch 6. I didn't get a chance to, but then I watched it about a couple hours ago, episode 6, and I wanted to pull my hair out. I was so frustrated. And then I rewatched episode 5 to take notes, because when I watched it on Monday, I didn't take notes. And I just wanted to watch it. I really, really went through the motions there. So I have plenty to say here. The thing is, I would say, where should we begin and try and find a place? But I think we can begin wherever our hearts take us today. I think that's the best way to go about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I thought it was obviously proved to be a bad move for, I think, both Sam and Blake to not kill Luke. Just going into episode 5 and like trying, because when I finished this episode, I was like, I sent you a DM. I was like, dude, oh my God, like, do we want to just podcast about just episode 5?
Which is why I watched without notes. I thought, oh my God, this is intense. I need to just watch it. And I did immediately.
Yeah. And so I was like, I would be down to just get on a podcast, but I was like, well, I don't know if episode 6, the way that the season has been going, the odd number episodes seem to have a lot to chew on. And then the even ones are a little bit less. And I think I watched episode 6 and I was like, you know, we could probably bundle them together. It's the same sentiment through both, especially because they didn't banish Sam or Blake in episode 6. So I'm like, honestly, the sentiment hasn't changed. I thought it might after everything that happened, after sacrificing Annabelle and Luke in this overall journey to the end of this season. I was like, they got to get rid of one of these two in episode 6. So I almost was like, I don't want to go into episode 6, because I would love to talk about how frustrating episode 5 was, how much I was living for Annabelle and Luke's strategy. And I was picking up on the breadcrumbs that were being foreshadowed and somewhat highlighted in the previous episodes, where they're like, Sam is sus and this is why. And I'm like, they're on it. They're clocking it. And I said, now, can they take these good reads and turn it into an overall good strategy? Because masterminding the traitors to win is not as simple as getting the traitors out, because they won't end the show with you getting all of them out by episode 3. So you have to find a way to both keep them in your pocket and go the distance. And this episode, episode 5, started confirming they were doing exactly what I was hoping they were. But they're both gone now. But anyway, I'm shocked that Luke survived to start this whole thing out. I was very surprised about that. And the fact that it hasn't come back to bite them, for the most part, like results at least, is just such an indictment on these faithfuls.
Here's the thing. I benefit from having watched episode 5, then episode 6, then episode 5 again. So I think what I caught in the second viewing of episode 5 will shed some light on this. Sam has a confessional where he says that he opted to take out Ro because taking out Ro will isolate Hannah, who will then be looking for someone to land with, and he'll be there to scoop her right up. And honestly,
yeah.
Hats off to him, because he successfully did it. Hannah had eyes for nobody else but Sam in the best possible way, meaning she's not doubting Sam at all in this instance whatsoever. And that really did come to light when it was between Ro and Luke. Luke survives, Ro does not. And now all the strategy's about to happen and Hannah's still sulking about Ro, so much so that Sam has had enough time to work on her and bring her on side moving forward.
It also shows me that I think Luke was playing a better game than I wasn't sure, because I think we saw a little bit more of Annabelle in the strategy portion and leading up to episode 5. So I was like, I feel pretty comfortable with where she's at and where her head's at. I'm not 100% certain with Luke, because I know he had a couple of bad reads, but then he survived. And I thought, well, this is telling me. And when Sam says, I'm picking off the people that aren't my friends, and I thought, that's also what you want to do. At the end of the day, you want to form a clique. You want to form a loose alliance of people that trust you, an inner circle, not too dissimilar to somebody on Big Brother 25 right now. You want to create people that ultimately feel good about you, vibe with you, will want to go to you with information first, and will trust your reads before anyone else's. And Sam confirmed, I took out Roja because that's not what I was getting from him, basically. He's not my friend in this case. Luke was, I guess, more of a friend. And so I wondered then, how far could Luke and Annabelle have taken that good vibe with Sam? Because Sam was clearly the dominant of the two between him and Blake. He was more out in front. And I'm like, I just wonder, did they need to go for Blake so soon? Was this, you know?
So that's the big question, right? Because this whole episode was a roller coaster, because Luke and Annabelle get in a room after the breakfast is done. Annabelle was the first one to enter, so she had the benefit of seeing everyone come in one by one. And she sheds light to us that the way Blake reacted last night over the banishment was so over the top, over someone that he's not even been that close with in this game, and Ian, that I think he is the other traitor. I have reasons to believe he's the other traitor. And I do think for us, especially knowing that Blake is the traitor, watching Blake in the breakfast room be like, oh man, they're just going to get all of us. Like, who knows what they're thinking at this point? I'm like, oh, this feels like a big put on. And clearly Annabelle did not fall for that. Annabelle's now on point. The thing is, the big question becomes, was this roller coaster of, actually, let's go for Blake and hold on to Sammy the move? Because I feel like convincing others of Blake was infinitely clearly a harder task than convincing everybody of Sammy, which granted would have still been tough because Sammy has the shield of, I literally got out a traitor in the second banishment. If I'm a traitor, that makes no sense. Logically, no one would be dumb enough to do that. So he has that defense ready, but he's also been the more vocal one and the one that you can be more sus on, especially when you compound it with, how has he not been getting murdered if he's our best traitor hunter? How? Like, he should have been dead by now.
Right, which is what Annabelle floats out. Like, if he walks through those doors, like, I don't know how you can't just do a complete, what? How are you still here? And you don't have the shield. Interesting. At this point, you have to assume he's recruited or something, because Ash is gone, so they know they got at least one of them out. But of course, that would be asking a lot of these faithfuls to start considering the dynamics beyond what isn't face value, what Sam tells you isn't the truth. And it's weird because they edit the way that this breakfast plays out in episode 5 is like Sam and Blake look really dumb. The way that they show them is, we are cocky. We got this. Sam obviously always says this stuff, but even Blake was like, I don't think anyone's on to me. Mm-hmm. And it cuts to Annabelle, who's like, I think Blake is the other traitor. And I'm like, oh my gosh, she's got it. And I'm like, that's really bad for Blake, both literally in the game at that moment. And also from a viewing perspective as an audience member, I'm like fist pumping for Annabelle. And I'm like, yes. After 4 episodes of these cocky little traitors, Blake a little bit less so, but still, I'm like, he's sort of back into Sam's fold for a minute. I'm like, yes, she's got both of them. And they're the only two that usually, I don't ever see this happen, where they're clocked so quickly, so early. And it's by a player who is very lethal and very understanding of the strategic game. I'm like, usually it's like gut sus, somebody gets lucky. People just have a good read on somebody, like Mark in last year. I think his name was Mark. He just had like a good read and he became the traitor hunter. But I don't know if he had a lot of agency or strategy, whereas I'm like, I trust Annabelle a lot, especially after listening to her. I listened to a podcast she was on after this episode. Mm-hmm. She did a podcast and she talked a little bit about what was going on and the insights of the game. And I really trust. I'm like, wow, she would be great, which for me made me think a little bit of the numbers, because ultimately you do need, she says it too, you need the numbers to get out Blake or to get out Sam.
Yeah.
And I just was like, maybe this was one round too early. I don't know. I guess she's like, you have to trust that they won't murder you, which does come down to a little bit of luck. You don't have the power to control that as a faithful. You hope that they won't. You hope they won't take out Luke. You hope they won't take out you. But on the other hand, you do need 6 votes to get out Sam or Blake out of the 11 people left in episode 5. And unfortunately, she only had 5. And it was the 6th vote that completely blew it up. And that's where I'm like, maybe one round later could have helped, because then you only need 3 votes instead of 6. You only need 3 more votes on top of yourself and Luke. Anyway, there's a lot of number crunching, but.
Yeah, I think the other, like the question of, was it one round table too soon? Perhaps, but also they would have done this last week if one of them had gotten the shield and they didn't. They would have done it this week if one of them got the shield, they didn't. At that point, you can't be chancing it with fate too much. Like, what if they choose, okay, tonight's the night we get rid of Annabelle or we get rid of Luke. Like, yeah, I seem close to them, but then no one will expect me because I've been close with them, or whatever the reason may be. You got to take your shot when you at that point have percolated. I do think probably the pivot to Blake is what really caused it, because she caught on to Blake, but Blake is playing the low-key role really well. When everyone just voted out a low-key person, that wasn't it. So they're right. Not going to go for another low-key probably. They want maybe a more vocal target. But also, like you said, you have to factor in numbers of like who's working with you. But then also, you do not know the people you're in bed with here. Because I fully thought Simone was on Annabelle's side. I said this last week. I said, when Simone comes in last and Annabelle is emotional seeing her, I was like, oh, this is a huge connection the show's not showing us. So I was completely bamboozled when Simone was the one saying, actually, I've been suspect on Annabelle, and this Blake thing is what's pushed it over for me.
Yeah, I mean, I was profoundly disappointed in Simone. And I thought to myself, once Simone flipped, she was the beginning of the end for Annabelle. You can obviously blame Hannah, Liam, Keith, Sarah, whoever. But it really started. And we will, of course. They will get their just desserts. But we did look, if you rewatch, it starts with Simone as that 6th vote. Well,
she's the one who then goes and talks to Hannah, who then says, I never thought it was Blake at all. And right. Then from there, it really starts snowball affecting. But I don't think anyone was going to point out Annabelle until the first person who cast the stone, and that ended up being Simone.
Yep. Yeah. And I, for a minute, was like, well, you know what? Maybe this is too early. Maybe, because at the end of the day, there are going to be some faithfuls who survive this if Annabelle goes and they look dumb. But, you know, sometimes you have to look dumb, and then you show up later and you make the move Annabelle was trying to make, but now you're in the better position because it's one round later. So there's less numbers, less opportunities to get murdered. So I'm like, you know, maybe this isn't actually such a bad move. You just shift the strategy, you absorb it, and then you put it back on her. And then obviously Sam and Blake don't kill Simone. So I'm like, oh, you know, maybe this is okay. But then we open episode 6 with Simone getting an intro package, and she's like, here to play. And I'm like, oh my gosh, maybe there is something to this. Maybe she's usurped the crown that was Annabelle and I guess Luke. But nope, she gets banished by the end of the episode. So there's really not much intentionality to any of this. I'm like, the math isn't mathing, Puya. This is supposed to be like, oh, okay, there's a bigger fish, and there's always a bigger fish. It's like the meme with the spaceman holding the gun, and there's always another one right behind him. And I was like, oh, Simone's behind Annabelle. Oh, no, she's not. She's just wilding. She's just like, you know what? There's a lot of evidence. I think I'm just gonna get Annabelle out. You know, why not? Why not? Like, and the arguments were so painfully bad. So bad. They were so bad. Anyway.
Yeah. I mean, the big notion at the round table, which is where things started kind of going off a little bit, Annabelle comes in immediately swinging because Blake is asking, hey, I heard you float my name. What's up with that? So she gives what she believes to be evidence of, I just feel like it was suspect the way you reacted to Ian when you don't even like him slash know him. Like, that's not great.
And it was.
And then said, and I feel like you're working with another traitor. And because I know about the other traitor, I feel good that you're the second one. And then she lets out that I believe it's Sam. And that one, I feel like, was landing a little bit more with people. It was, I think, what keeps happening. And this is a little bit of my theory here. It feels like the age of Sam is helping him out. He looks like the dumb city kid who's like getting accused by everyone, but he's nice. He's our town hero. He caught Ash. So of course he's good. And now what is this other person coming in and attacking him for no reason? And this is also someone who's been very vocally playing this game. So maybe they're trying to get our best detective out. And then for Keith to call it a masterclass in manipulation, I was like, Keith, your gun and your badge now. I don't care how many years you've been doing detective stuff. You give it up, because my God, is this some bad game from you?
I saw somebody on social media be like, we should check into his arrest history. There's probably a lot of innocent people right now.
Keith, what are you doing?
I mean, it is what it is.
Well, he did. And because here's the thing. I can forgive it in that.
People are going to be wrong, but yeah.
Yeah, I can forgive it in that meeting, especially because, again, when Annabelle is coming in very vocal, and the last time someone came in very vocal, but were under some suspicion, was Ash, who was a traitor. So mm-hmm. I understand that in that setting, in that roundup, when you've been through three banishments and one of them had this instance, it's very easy to look back at the previous event and be like, oh, this is that again. So it's probably that another person going head to head against Sam, and they're being very vocal and like they're attacking this guy a little bit. I think it's her. Sure. Let's pretend I forgive that. Okay. And I forgive mm-hmm. it. Sure. The next round table, when Simone is laying down what she believes to be crystal clear, it's Sam. Sam does the same thing he was doing, where he flips it on Simone, cites that it would be ridiculous for me to ever vote out Ash that early. That makes no sense. And it just ends up being a situation where Keith goes, you know what? I'm actually quite suspicious of you, Simone, after that explanation. Oh, great, Keith. So we should all just stop talking and you can give Sam the money, because you are not willing to listen to anybody. Who's the person that Keith has listened to and then sided with here? Sam.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Did you like their decision when they decided they can't go in on Blake to flip it to Sam and expose that? Or do you think they should have kept that under wraps? Do you know what I'm talking about? Luke, and this is still episode five. I'm still thinking of episode five.
Yeah, still episode five. Think, I feel like I do think deciding to then switch on to Keith, to Blake, just, was tough. I think they should have.
Well, they were originally on Blake. And they were trying to round the votes up.
Yeah.
And Annabelle even goes to Sam. And I thought they could even get Sam as a vote. Like, they only need six. They got five. They got Sarah. They got Gloria. They got Annabelle and Luke. And, who was the last one they picked up? Sarah, Gloria. Oh, Liam. Well, he spoke to Liam at the time. It looked like he was with them. Luke did. And so I was like, what if they got Sam? Like, he loves doing this. Like, this is his forte. This is bread and butter. Like, kill Blake now. That's the sixth vote they need. And Sam gave her exactly what she needed. It was only when she started feeling like the tides were turning. Luke was like, your name's out there. This is not looking too good. Do you think we just take everything we have and go all in as a Hail Mary, just throw them both under the bus and hope that people can see reason, see evidence? I was like, interesting strategy. I wondered if that was the right way to go, if they should have kept under wraps. For the matter, I do think it was probably the right way to handle it at that point.
But yeah, I think the minute the Annabelle's name starts floating out and Luke catches on to that and then brings it back to her as well, they had no choice but to then try and hard pivot again, because I think that Sam would have gone with it up until Annabelle's name starts floating around and now it's muddied and half the people do not buy that it's Blake. Because if you're Sam, there is no world you're going to vote Blake unless you know for a certain that he's going home. And right now it does not look like that's going to happen anymore. So he's probably not going to do that. So I think bringing the name out there in the roundtable made all the sense in the world. And I have to give Luke his props, because Luke tried to keep Annabelle in, but he also threw the final Hail Mary that should have been the nail in the coffin by saying, legitimately, no one's targeting me tonight. So there's no reason for me to speak unless I'm trying to help. And I think you all are wrong. You're making a huge mistake. I will regret it if I get murdered tonight. I didn't put out this suspicion I have on Sam. And he nailed that. And it's so funny to me. And again, we're just jump roping back and forth from the two episodes. But the restraint I showed to not snap my keyboard in half when the episode six started and Hannah was like, so I think it's Luke. And I was like, I cannot with Hannah, man. I cannot. Ro, come pick up your friend, Ro. Come swap places even. Because Hannah is playing poker blindfolded. Like, this is not what I need to see, Hannah.
Yep. Yeah, it's clear that she doesn't have much experience playing social strategic games, competitive. She's apparently, I don't know anything about Below Deck, so I don't really have any understanding of what, I don't even know what it is, to be honest. But
Below Deck, I've watched a handful of episodes because I was on the Below Deck podcast with Sasha 1 week. And they it's a reality TV show, but it's not a competitive reality show where it's basically a yacht that gets rented out, or it hosts parties, different people coming in, and they have to cater to the different people, so different personalities. So you have to communicate and gel with different people and like deal with people, live under the same roof as people. And like, obviously there's always drama, there's always ups and downs. But as far as in this game, I do think that what Annabelle says in that podcast rings true, where you need numbers. And once you have numbers, you're going to stick with those numbers pretty much unless you get absolute reason not to. And that's kind of what Simone got called out for doing and then got voted out for, which is funny because a lot of them are doing the same thing, which is stay low key. You have numbers, just stick with them. Just ride with them unless you have an absolute inkling that you want to stick your neck out for.
I just don't understand Hannah's like, Luke is a traitor after everything that happened at the end of episode five.
I do, because the running theory.
I know she was sus of Luke for a while, but
yeah, because the theory just that Simone put out, I think, is the same theory that Hannah was subscribed to at that point, which we've discussed, where if you are a faithful and you figured out a traitor, you're going to stay close to that traitor so that you are safe. And their thought was, well, Annabelle is safe. Annabelle was a faithful. Therefore, who's Annabelle's closest person? Luke. Okay, so then Luke's probably bad, and Luke's the one keeping her on side. But again, I think where that theory, I'm willing to accept it all the way there. Where it dies for me is Luke would, as a traitor, never at that point speak up to put his name out there and associate with someone who people are gung-ho looking at, because then it could come off suspect, or it'll just put unnecessary eyes on Luke. So that's where it dies with me. That's where I don't think after that you continue thinking that it's Luke. Even if you do think it's Luke at that point, I think no matter what, if I was in their shoes, I'm coming back the next day and I'm like, we're completing the 50-50. Now, we've seen the 50-50 happen in many of these games. It happens in Mafia and Among Us and Goose Goose Duck, where if two people are pointing the finger at each other and you take one out, you take the other one out just because you're almost guaranteed one amongst the two was bad. In this instance, you get confirmation of whether or not that first shot was bad. So obviously, when Ash comes out as traitor, you're probably not going to want to go Sammy next, because the odds are they're not in bed together. But they were. Now here, Annabelle is not a traitor. You go for that. The other thing I want to bring up is, I'm sorry, but yes, you were the linchpin for the one vote out. That does not buy you goodwill for four banishments for me. If you're now getting it wrong three times in a row, and again, you've not had the shield, it's suspect. It just is suspect.
That's what I was pointing at the beginning of the podcast. I'm like, this is so sus that he walks to the door and nobody is like, whatever. I'm like, he got out a traitor in episode three. He was trying to lead the vote in episode two. I just can't fathom like the lack of, to go into episode. I understand the idea of like, okay, if you have this theory of Luke versus with Annabelle, maybe they're both in cahoots and they're obviously clearly strategic, and that does make you intimidated a little bit. So maybe you take a shot and you go 50-50. You say, all right, you know what? Let's see what happens. We'll roll the dice, vote out Annabelle. Doesn't happen. She's clearly faithful. Okay, Luke's dead. Okay, now Luke is faithful. There were two faithfuls putting all the evidence on the line. They are both experienced enough. At least Annabelle.
You called Annabelle the best player to play this game when you were voting her out. So clearly you have to put some, now that she's faithful, put some trust into what she was saying.
Luke is he has played several times before. They know he's a survivor player. They know that he's got that ability to do well. He wouldn't have been on the show if he wasn't like some
big
team.
Even if you're subscribing to the fact that, Luke was duplicitous in his seasons. He was shady. Yeah, but here, once he's confirmed faithful, okay, his information was good. He has no reason to be lying to the rest of us.
That's the really frustrating thing is that Simone was in on this, and she was just as equally duped on some level. While I think she cooked episode 5 pretty poorly and burned everything, and she was the one that started it. I mean, they're all pretty bad at the end of the day, but the fact that she at least goes into episode 6 and says, I've woken up. Obviously, we took a shot. It didn't work. We got to finish the 50-50, get out Sam or Blake. Man, to see Hannah just be like, you know what? I don't know. I still don't know. I think it could be Simone. I'm willing to vote out Simone. Why not?
I was like, wasn't Simone the one that told you that Annabelle's like, looking at Blake and you were trusting each other episode ago?
I've watched a lot of Big Brother. I understand women violence is very prevalent. Do we got to introduce that into the beginning of the Traitors? Is this how it's going to go? Is this the direction we get to go in?
We need an all girls alliance, please.
I'm like, at least I just want a brains alliance. I would like them to stop fighting over custody of a single brain cell between all the faithfuls.
There's only one. There's one shield and there's one cell. Okay. Not everyone can have it.
It's just really tough to see the logic here, which is what makes it so much more frustrating in episode 6 when they come in and they look at all the evidence that was presented before them and they just go, I don't know. And people want to suppose that maybe there is like ulterior motives with some of these faithful, like maybe Keith, maybe Liam, maybe God forbid Hannah are actually playing a bigger game. They're playing a longer game.
Well, if I'm Hannah, I'm doing a masterclass by doing this. So I'm not.
If that's the case, here's my problem as a viewer watching this play out. If that's really the case, the editors have done nothing to show it, and I don't like that because it's poor storytelling to not.
Producer Pertium has entered the chat. Holy, all right,
exactly because there's a level of satisfaction where you want to leave everyone online, and I imagine a lot of people watching this are not very satisfied with what's happening. And maybe Sam and Blake will get their just deserts. Maybe this will all come back and karma will hit them in the face. But at the same time, after having watched a lot of these episodes more than once, there's really no indication that any of this is actually happening. So if anything, it's just a conspiracy theory, because why not? Maybe. Obviously, Achman's razor is likely telling us, no, they're really just not very good. They don't know what they're doing. And listening to Annabelle talk about the show after her ouster on a podcast, it does sort of sound like from her perspective, there were a lot of people who just didn't understand the show. They had not watched season one. They really didn't do their homework. And she was pretty surprised at how this was basically another season one, but actually worse, dumber. They were kind of just, the faithfuls were even worse than season one, clearly, which is saying something given, like one of the best moments in season one was the faithful being like, oh, shoot. Okay. I lost the game. It's tough to believe that there is something bigger happening here. There's a bigger strategy going on. And I truly don't think there is. And I've been right with my gut sus in the past predicting the next episodes. I think that they aren't going to kill. I think we're going to end up with another recruit. We're going to end up with 5 faithful to 3 traitors. And I really feel like the faithfuls are going to get steamrolled. And I do think the traitor will win. I don't know exactly which one, but I don't think it'll be a split. I personally am predicting right now that there's a good, I would say Sam's win equity is not below 50%.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Okay, round 2. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? A woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver. I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I don't disagree, because here's the thing. I'm going to come into this podcast and I'm going to deem Annabelle as the best faithful to have ever played. The best faithful traitor hunter that's ever played this
100%,
game.
100%.
I'm backing her to the moon with that one. The next title I want to give out, I think Sam is the best villain traitor we have ever had on the show.
Is he the best traitor?
No, best villain traitor.
Villain traitor. What's a villain traitor? Like a dislikable traitor?
A villain traitor is someone who's doing villainous shit almost unnecessarily, but yeah, because he can. And because you don't care.
Dumps the water on his head for no reason. Throws money away for no reason.
Oh my God. That we'll talk about the challenges for sure. And I know you can't wait to talk about it.
They're not bad.
I think the he's been playing a very good villain game, and he's done a really good job of getting away with it. Now, the other thing I want to say real quick is that, listen, I know we're watching the show and we're coming on here like we know everything, because we get to watch everything. Do I think that in that, if I was in that house, in that castle, I would do better? I think so, but is that 100%? No, because I'm not in that room. So things could be different. So while it sounds like we're like dunking on some of these contestants, I want to make it known that we don't necessarily think we're better than anybody. Because who knows?
I think I might be a little better than a lot of
people.
Okay,
you need to relax, okay? Have some humble pie for dinner, because I've played games with you. You're not that good.
I've never watched the season of The Traitors and felt like 100% I would have done better. This is the only time. And this goes also for... This is the 44 seasons of Survivor and 25 seasons of Big Brother where I'm like, I honestly could have been misted. I could have been blindsided. I don't want to pretend like I know everything. But this one season with this much evidence and the arguments presented against Annabelle and sort of against Luke, not really. I can't. They just don't add up. It feels like when they walk in there and Annabelle, they throw it all back in her face about, this is why we think you are actually wrong and bad. I look at it and go, that doesn't add up to the arguments leading in the previous moments with like Ash's vote. You're like, you're just like Ash. I'm like, but she's not. She's on the offensive, not the defense. She's not reacting. She's acting. She's bringing together bits of evidence where Blake's like, where's the evidence? I'm like, she's giving it to you. These are reads. These are very legitimate reads that are also right, but that doesn't matter at the moment.
The biggest thing that would have made me, if I was even getting on the let's vote out Annabelle train as a faithful, the thing that would give me the biggest pause is, wait, I don't think Blake's the traitor. It makes no sense for her to say it's Blake. If she's a traitor, wouldn't she go for someone whose name is already on our lips? Wouldn't she put out someone's name who has been a suspect and not just pull someone from the midst of the unknown and start putting suspicions on them? Because that's putting her on the right. Like, you know what I mean? There's like layers to this. Like, you definitely read more and see that. Nah, it's a ridiculous notion to think that Annabelle is anything but a faithful. Now, here's the other thing I want to quickly talk about. Let's jump to the end of the episode. We did get two iconic Traitors Towers videos, both at the end of episode 5 and 6. I don't want to talk about episode 5's yet because that one was way better. But at the end of episode 6, they have to face Roger, who then says, you have one last chance to recruit. If you do not recruit from here on out, that's it. You're just the two of you. Sammy immediately says we should recruit and it should be Camille. And Blake says we should not recruit. I think, and why I agree with you that Sammy's win equity is high for me, is that they have a golden pass here. Sammy recruits. No one dies. Sammy's wearing the shield.
Oh, yeah.
If Camille takes, or if they do try and recruit Camille and she takes it, they can play it off as, oh, my God, Sammy was about to get murdered by the traitors and they couldn't do it because he had the shield. Masterclass. Okay, he's confirmed good because they tried to kill him. Or Camille comes into the breakfast, says, they attempted to recruit me last night. I said no. So I do not think they took a shot at Sammy. I think they tried to recruit me and I said no. That's why nothing happened. And they either believe her or they don't believe her. But I do think that he has a new lease on life by just having that shield around his neck.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I almost think it's too easy. But it's like, I think when he got that shield, I thought, well, now he's got a very good alibi. If he survived, I was like, well, he might not survive this episode. So whoopsie daisy. But then, I think this is a very, very simple strategy. I will say, like, if you look at the preview for episode 7, you can tell the decision they do. Whether or not Camille decides to take the recruitment is a different story. I'm not sure about that. She has shown herself to be quite doing the right thing. You know,
they,
like
the edit, I'll give them credit. If these are set up knowing what's coming next, they did it great because in the last challenge we saw, it was they had to go up the hill and they each had bags with weights in them.
Waste money and
yeah. And at the midway point up this hill, Roger was there offering them temptations for a silver bar. So initially it was keys to the armory. Then on their second trip, they were getting offered a beer or a shake or whatever. And then not only did Camille say no to the first key to the armory, the second trip she made, she was offered a bundle of a beer, yep, a massage gun, and a key to the armory for one silver bar.
Wild.
I was like, is she going to take that. This with her? Like
what is happening here?
Does she have to go to the corner and use this? It was a strange choice because how does she hide that?
Logistically, yeah, I thought that too. I was like, so what are they going to do? Like pull her to the side and have this butler dude just like start massaging her?
Well, they set up massage and I thought, you know what? I'm not mad at this. When the traitors are in Traitor's Tower, you know, Camille gets to get a masseuse come in and like give her a good massage. No, it was a DIY massage gun that she's going to be handed in the midst of this hill where people are going to come and go.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, because like, did you charge it or not? I don't know. That was an interesting, but she said no.
It didn't seem like it was worth it. She said no. So when I looked at like logistically, would she choose, not logistically, but personally, based on who she has been shown to be, this was like the biggest evidence towards maybe she doesn't take the recruitment. But I also feel like if I'm Camille and I'm looking around at all of this, I'd be like abandoning ship. I'd be jumping off this faithful's boat so quickly. Like there's no money to be made with these people. They are so bad. They're going to vote you out so quickly. The best you could do at this point is getting good with these people who are pulling the wool over their eyes. So I would hope, I think I would say yes if I was her. And I hope that she kind of does.
You have to.
Right. Well, I would think, especially under these circumstances, it's a 5-3 at this point. And you know it's a 5-3 because you know they're not going to have two and Ash is gone. So I think you got to if you're Camille. I think that's the move. And I think at that point, it's a little bit dicey, but it's a better, her odds of winning and getting any money go up, I think, quite dramatically. She goes into being what I think is probably the top three to win from being possibly at the bottom to get
you're guaranteed murdered. To skip murders now. You can't get murdered at night.
Right.
And the only way you get screwed is if you get banished. And let's face it, outside of the initial Sarah and Camille, no one's really looking at Camille at this stage. So she would be pretty safe at banishment, at least this next round.
Plus, she's been wrong. Good. She's been equally wrong both times.
And with she her can votes. Still push the if she uncloaks and sees Sam there, she can still push him, and he might still go out, and she could then be the new traitor hunter.
Yeah, I was wrong. She did actually go for Sam, but if she gets recruited, she comes in, and the question is like, do you think? Let's just say that she does.
That's
say
why
yes.
Sammy wants to recruit Camille. He said that Camille's not going to let go of me at this point. I'm her target. I want it right. to be.
The only two people that are still in the game that have voted for Sam are Blake and Camille, who are probably Blake both going to be traitor. Right. So I'm like, yeah, this is a very interesting spot for Sam. The question I wonder is, will Camille work with Blake to potentially dethrone Sam, or is Sam's defense going to get too good? And in my opinion, is Sam's next best move to get out Blake?
I think, because this is he planted the seeds there already, no matter what he's saying at Traitor's Tower. So right at as the vote ended, Simone has to stand up and say whether or not she is a traitor. She calls them dummies, says she's a faithful, yells out one last dummy on the way out. Then Sammy immediately looks over to Blake and says, "Why'd you vote for me?"
Oh, yeah.
And you didn't bring it up. Like, he fully grilled Blake in front of everybody and wasn't letting go. So much so where he's like, "Oh, so you think that the theory they have is true about me, but not about you. That's interesting." So I think Sammy has already started marinating Blake and making him ready to get cooked by everybody else. The question is, will he be able to do that? Because up until this point, people have been a little hesitant to look at Blake or want to go for Blake. So I don't know if that's going to happen necessarily, but he has his sights on him. And then at Traitor's Tower, he tried to say, "Listen, let's do a ceasefire. We had a pack before. I'm willing to do a pack now. We bring in Camille. We split this money, $85,000 a piece, and we just ride it to the end together." I think Sammy is not to be trusted with, even if I think Sammy has no other choice. But if Sammy gets a pack from Blake and then also brings Camille in, he's, for all intents and purposes, safe with everybody else from his eyes because no one else voted for him.
Yeah, I feel like Sammy's got the best. He's kind of threading a needle as the traitor to make this work. But I think that it's also one of the most plausible stories that will lend credence to him navigating this Blake turn. And also, he knows Blake just straight up doesn't trust him. And then also bringing Camille in. Most likely Camille says yes. So I'm expecting mm-hmm. her. Although knowing these faithfuls, who knows? Maybe she doesn't do that. And maybe this is just a waste of hypothesis. But I also think setting Blake up is 100% intentional. I think personally, one of the best moves that Sam has done immediately goes back to the Annabelle and Luke and turns that on Blake and says, "You know what? They called us out and you're now turning on me. I'm not turning on you because I don't think, but now I'm starting to think it." And he's getting that in everyone. He's putting a seed now for the next episode, which I think is clearly his next best move. And obviously, Blake doesn't love this. He can kind of see, "You're the devil. I don't trust you at all." Of course, Sam is like, "But what are you going to do? What is your option?
Rich.
What are you going to..." He's like, I'm marinating the rest of them and priming you up, putting you in the oven and cooking you. You're about to get sliced. So you can either choose to work with me or I will slit your throat next episode." But I honestly think the next best move for Sam, if he's really playing to win this all, is to just slice Blake's throat next episode with Camille probably by his side. Eventually get Camille out too, which I think will happen because Camille won't be able to have seen all this go down in Traitor Tower. So she's not 100% privy, maybe. Although maybe she'll look at what happens. I really feel like he's already foreshadowing his next move by calling out Blake that quickly and flipping the biggest sus against him. He is going, and to make it even harder for people to go against Sam, Sam is going to get Blake out and he's going to get the second traitor out of the game. And these dummies are already, I mean, I know it sounds like, well, I could go.
They might eat it up. They might eat it up.
They're going to. And his shield plausible deniability of not getting murdered with the shield lends credence to the fact that he could have been murdered after all that, but he had the shield and he legitimately has the shield. So there's a very fine narrative that Sam is putting together. But this is what I know people are going to hate me saying this, but this is what some of the best players, because people don't like Sam, but this is what some of the best players do when they're navigating the complexities of the game. You see this with some of the best Big Brother and Survivor players. They're thrown for loops. He got massively blindsided by Annabelle and Luke. And that was like, that to me is the hardest thing he'll have to ever deal with, I think, for the rest of the game, And he's already found a way to co-opt it and flip the script to lend more credence to his name, put a better reputation than before. Whether the Faithfuls will figure this all out is a tough thing. I'm like, that's a tall order for me.
Well, let's play devil's advocate for 2 seconds as well. Let's say he genuinely does want to work with Blake. Him sussing Blake like that at the table and Blake voting for him is kind of perfect, because now no one's ever going to think the two of them are in bed together. So this could be a very good soft reset, because let's say half the Faithfuls are now looking at Blake, the other half wants Sam. They could potentially have them split votes and then carve their own little path again if they have all the votes. But I don't think that's likely. I do think I still go with the initial, which is at this point, Sammy's proven to want to cut the traitors and use that clout to ride it out. And I think he's very capable of it. So we'll see who he ends up bringing on side to work with him moving forward. And more importantly, we'll see what he has. Because right now, he has Liam in his back pocket. Liam 100% is riding with him and believes him to be a Faithful. He has Hannah in his back pocket, 100% riding with him, thinking he's Faithful. Will either of them budge? Because that's already 3 votes of how many left now?
Well, there's only 8 people in the game. So,
right. So that's 3 of 8. If all he can do is make sure Blake doesn't vote him, that's 4.
Which I think that's why he's setting up an argument in the event that Blake decides to try to flip the script. He's already putting seeds out there like, hey, look, everybody, look what Blake's doing. Actions speak louder than words. Look at his actions after everything that Annabelle and Luke just put down. And I'm like, yo, Blake is in a corner and I don't think that he can do anything to get out of it. But trust that, hope and pray that either Camille will work with him and somehow convince these people to wake up, or just hope that Sam doesn't go for him and decides to play it safer, because that's not Sam's MO. And also when Annabelle looks at Sam and says, I'm sus of Blake, Sam's first reaction is, oh, this is good. I like where you're going with this. Because he knows this is what I want. I want Blake out despite making a deal. He knows this is what he wants and this is what he's going to do. And it's like he's never been more bold than the end of episode 6 to turn on Blake. Like that was, he kind of tried to be like, you're mixing up my words, Annabelle. You're twisting my words, which is like kind of weird to say, I thought, because it's like, well, you're confirming that you've had these conversations. That's not looking good. If I'm a Faithful. To target Blake under the shadows, which is what she's suggesting. That's quite a traitor you seem to be. But the fact that he's already thinking this to me tells me the direction Sam's probably trying to go in this game. And honestly, if I was him, I wouldn't put it past him to do it. I think it's not the worst
thing for him. So let's talk about the 2 Traitors Towers meeting. So Annabelle gets banished. We go back, and then right before the Traitors Towers happens, Luke does sit down with some of the people and said, listen, I'm likely going to get murdered. If any of us get murdered, the other 4, like we just hard dump our votes on Sam and we're safe. Obviously, that doesn't happen. We get to Traitor Towers and Blake unmasks as does Sammy. And Sammy's like, what a night. And
Blake says, interesting day in the office for us, wasn't it?
Yeah.
In the most villainous way possible. It was like I was watching like an anime. It was ridiculous.
That wasn't even the most villainous thing he said there. Blake was then like, I don't believe anything you're telling me, mate. Like, I do not.
I don't trust a bleeping word you say, mate. First thing. And he goes, ooh, okay.
So then they back and forth a little bit, and Sammy's like, Blake was like, well, I want to know, we're not murdering Luke tonight. I wanted to murder him last night, and you said no, because you probably wanted them on side so you could take the shot at me at some point. And he's like, no, that's not what it was. And Blake was like, no, which I 100% buy. Yeah, he's like, 100% buy what Annabelle was saying. I don't trust you. And he's like, no, because when I take my shots, I don't miss. And now that is the most cocky thing you could say in the middle of a fight, like, nope, I don't miss my shot. Which, so that's wrong.
He did miss because he tried to get Ash out in episode 2 and that didn't work, so they settled on Guyton. To be fair, we're looking at the receipts. That was the strategy. He was trying to get Ash out, but he said, okay, wait, I can't do it now, we'll do it the next episode.
So you've already missed once, Sammy. You've already taken one out. Don't try and be like, I played the perfect game. No, you fumbled and got lucky that Ash couldn't turn it on you fast enough, so it's fine. But then in the second meeting, which I thought was funny on Traitor's Towers, episode 6, the first thing Sam says to Blake is, you're a snitch. I can't believe you put, I was like, you're calling him a snitch? That's pretty rich. You got out Ash. Don't even act like this is like, you set up the culture. You made this be a thing.
Well, this is what we talked about at the beginning when we're like undermining the trust in Traitor's Tower is one of the most detrimental things you can do for the long version of this game for as a traitor, because you suddenly don't trust each other. You're playing traitors within Traitor Tower is essentially, and it's like your layers on layers. If you can already work as a cohesive team amongst a massive imbalance stacked 17 versus 3 dynamic, you need to work together as long as turn each on each other halfway in. That's, and so when Sam says, I'm clearly not doing that, because that's an insane idea to get Ash out in episode 2 or 3. That's insane. But this is why when I look at Sam, I say, I don't think that I would agree with you, by the way. I don't think he's the best traitor we've ever seen. Because
I didn't say that. Don't put your, now you're twisting
no, I
my
said
words, Peridium.
No, I just said I agree with you. I said I
okay,
don't.
Okay, then you're
I
saying, yeah, then you're not twisting my words, Peridium. It's good.
I'm not. I said I agree with you. I don't think that Sam is one of the best traitors we've ever seen, because mm-hmm. what he's doing doesn't on paper almost ever work. It can work. We played so many games of Gusus and Among Us, and I've played lots of games of Mafia where turning on your own can prove beneficial, but it most likely doesn't. And that's why it's not usually a good strategy. It did work here, but then I also look at the cast and I go, you're playing with a bunch of people who clearly don't know what they're doing. And I would say it's less a badge for Sam to be wearing. I mean, he'll wear it and he'll flaunt it, but it's more for me an indictment. After having watched, I've watched over 100 seasons of these games, mm-hmm. between Survivor, Big Brother, The Traitors, now all these other shows. This is really what we're looking at, is a very weak Faithfuls cast versus an okay traitor who is getting quite lucky, but is also playing well within the means of these terrible players. Not unlike, and I don't want to say this is the same, but like a little bit of BB25 with how bad this cast is playing. And this is more BB25 talk for a hot second, but the cast is playing terrible. It's allowing better players to thrive, but also make mistakes, but also still thrive. And I think that sort of works well with what we're seeing with Sam here. He's not a terrible player, but most of the time his strategy here is bad. And we're seeing in episode 6 and a little bit in episode 5 why it's bad. He doesn't have to have Blake against him at all. And he's playing it too cockily. He's getting arrogant. He's getting ahead of himself. And he thinks that it's all, I think he's thinking like good TV. This is what it's about, being the villain. But it ultimately doesn't lend itself to better gameplay. And that is a little bit frustrating.
Like I said at the beginning, I don't feel like I was wrong in my reads on Sammy. I feel like most people would argue that there was no way in hell this would work or should have worked, but yet it did, which I do think it lends itself to the fact that the Faithfuls are a little less than par when it comes to being
very
good.
Less than par.
Then the other thing is that I will give him credit here. Sammy does well in the midst of chaos. I don't think there's a lot of players that would have come into this last banishment and survived it. So I will give him props for that, because truthfully, and maybe I shouldn't, because maybe he didn't do enough, but Simone spoke and it was enough for other people to switch their minds in the moment, because it did seem like the tides were on Sammy until Simone maybe talked a little too much. But I think he did a good job of keeping the heat off of him. And honestly, maybe kudos for not getting too defensive or vocal in that moment, because right. I think that isn't easy to do. I think we have both played. We've both had these games where we have a lot of suspicion on us, and sometimes I'm able to keep it cool, but then sometimes I'm just like,
you just throw in the towel and
I'm just done. I'm like, I tap out. Just get rid of me. Like, it's over. I don't be here no more. So he's doing a good job there. I think his game head is still on. Again, I think he's the best villain we've seen in the traitor's role. I don't think we've seen many villains in this role before, but I think he's doing the best job of it. Not to say that I love him or that I'm enjoying it so, so much, but it is good TV. Because the sheer audacity of the things he says and does is enough to make me scratch my head, which is at least compelling for me. So I'm into it. Now let's talk about your favorite part of the show, which is the challenges. Now, you love yourself some challenges, and we had two challenges here. Dare I say, Peridium, you got a, with that humble pie you're eating later tonight, maybe some crow for the side piece, because I think the challenges have been decent this season.
Well, hold on. You didn't let me talk. I'll eat my crow when I think it's when it's deserved.
Okay.
In the case of this last week, I liked one of the challenges, or I liked two of the three. And I said one of the reasons why was because it reminded me of what I think are good challenges that have been utilized to manipulate the social game mm-hmm. in Survivor. And they should do this more on Big Brother. We talked about that. And I said, part of the reason I really liked one of those challenges, like the shooting the arrow, the flaming arrow at the sails, was because of that. Come into episode 5, I love the challenge. I love this challenge because it took exactly what that was and it just made a whole challenge about it. It was actually, this is what we've seen on Survivor. We've seen this before. Same thing for episode 6, where initially I was like, this is just a boring clone up and down the hill for money. And I almost was like, what is even the point? Like watching people go up and down a hill. But they added in what I want them to do. And I'm like, this is all I need. I don't need a super over the top challenge with all kinds of massive Trojan horses or whatever, or coffins and cathedrals. Just give them go up and down a hill and you hate it, but we can convince you to throw away money for secret advantages and undermine the group. And they ultimately lose nearly 50% of the pot that they all grueling walked up and down this hill for like 30 minutes to do. That's so good. Like that is what I'm looking for with these challenges. So I'm not going to cramp their style, get all over them here. This is what I want more of. And if they continue to do this, I think this is totally great. This is exactly what you want to do. It causes people to start distrusting each other and questioning each other. And it's self-sabotaging. And it allows moments like Sam to flourish as a villain because that's what he does. And it's just like, it's funny. It's interesting. It's better than the usual. So I'm okay with this. I don't know if I'm eating crow because I feel like this is like the first few episodes I didn't love and I was worried. But here, I'm more worried that we're going to go back there and I don't want that because this is a great direction.
Well, wait. Who's that at the door? Hold on, give me 1 second.
Oh, no.
Oh, Prim, it's for you. They've delivered the crow you're going to eat later. So... There you go. Yeah, I mean, listen, Joseph, I do think that they have been, the challenges have been good. I like the added layer of casting suspicions on each other. I really liked the first challenge, they had half the group on the side and then the other half they split into two groups of three. Three of them were sitting and you would get electrocuted if they got the wrong answer and the other three would get water poured on them. And it was basically they asked each individual person a question and they had to have the same answer as the remaining half on the side, which would then together work out to try and figure out what the name is. Now, we've had different instances of this. We had the Ferris wheel type one last year. So it's similar to that where they have to match the names. Otherwise, you know, things can go sideways. Now, what was funny to me was that one half basically decided, we want them to get punished, so we're just going to put wrong names here. And I was very surprised. So obviously, Sammy was in that group, but I was very surprised how many people were willing to go with it because, and you've said this before, when there's money on the line, why would anyone be incentivized to do anything else? But I did like that this worked out the way it did. I don't think it really highlighted or came into play as far as the answers went into the gameplay, but in the next episode, I love that challenge way more. The going up the hill, I enjoyed. Because while I would have been bored by that usually, because it's the same old, yeah, we've given you each a backpack, you got to trek up the hill. Every time you go up, you get a silver bar. I loved the pit stop they put in the middle of the hill where there were temptations being dished out because they were offered all the money they have missed out on so far to make here. And then they ended up, what was it? I think a total of 38,000, 34,000 they could have made off of this. Sorry, was it 40?
It was 34. They lost 16.
Yeah, so they went up with 34. They lost almost half of it to the Temptations, which I thought was really good. And I was really happy to see. Sammy was one of the few who got to get tempted three times. He took all three. First, he got a key to the armory, which, by the way, got him the shield that he wanted. Second was a protein shake he got. The third was a glass of champagne that he just mucked. He didn't even drink it. You just tossed it and then gave the money away.
Yeah, good job. I wouldn't do it either.
Hilarious. Absolutely hilarious. I think they're doing a good job with these challenges.
Yeah, I think, and speaking of episodes 5 challenge, I liked it because it's like they do this on Survivor where they ask, the group to try to figure out, like, what's the answer to quite juicy questions. Who's the biggest threat?
Are you going
to reveal your hand? Who's most likely to be recruited? Oh, these are game implications. That's interesting. That's me is like, what are they going to say? And this reveals a little bit about what they're thinking as well. It's the group has to pick a name and the individual has to pick a name to try and guess what the group is going to say and vice versa. And then you also get Sam, who I think threw one of them. He's like, or no, the half the team. It wasn't just Sam. It was half the team threw one of the questions away. They just wanted to watch their friends get tortured. Like, let's just watch him get electrocuted. Let's just watch him get water dumped.
Exactly. And they were all like, yeah, okay. Like, oh, okay. I guess we care about school money.
I was kind of like, well, I guess it doesn't matter because what happens is exactly what is the problem with the earlier ones where it's like, my whole issue is they don't need to play for money because they just give it to them anyway in the later challenges. So it doesn't really feel like there's much on the line. And it's true because the next episode, they just say, okay, we're playing for all the money that you didn't win. It's like, okay. So it's just going to keep doing that over and over again. Whereas to me, it just tells me the stakes aren't that high. So having like dollar counts doesn't really matter, but it does sort of lend to the, okay, if they're going to introduce, you can sabotage your own team to lose money. I'm like, I'm here for that. That works for me. That creates animosity. I wish they'd ask the question, who is the biggest poser? And I just want to see them write Sam's name down and make money off that. Just that's the survivor in me. Who's the biggest poser in the group? And then they're all just like, oh, instantly, it's Sam. Come on. Come on.
Is it bad that if I had to pick one of the faithfuls that I'm very irritated by right now, is it bad that my nominee is Keith?
No, not at all.
Because I feel like while Hannah going full confidence and saying, I've never been more sure than anything that Annabelle's bad here, and also wanting to vote Luke, what I'm almost more irritated by is this man who keeps saying that he was a private investigator and he has good reads. And then he yips everything Annabelle was saying, only to then say, nah, I think Sam is 100% faithful. It's more so the ad-libbing he does at the round table that get under my skin, where he called Annabelle a manipulation masterclass. He then has suspicion on Simone. And I was just like, at what point are you going to wake up and realize that you're doing this all wrong? When?
Might be the final three.
That's an interesting question. Who do you think, if only Sam is going to survive the traitors, Sam's going to the final three with Hannah and Liam. There's
if
no
he can,
world.
If he can have his cake and eat it too, I think so. Yeah. I think so. Yeah. So I did sit down and I put out like a rough idea of where I think the season's going, but this is obviously a lot of just looking into the crystal ball and shaking the eight ball and just sort of seeing, will it come up? I said, like, Camille gets recruited. Okay. It's 5-3. I think my theory is they go for Blake and they get Blake banished, makes it 5-2. I'm like, okay, who do they most likely murder of these next faithful? They're not recruiting anymore. So of the five faithful, I think maybe Gloria is the only one who's the least brought into the mist, the drinking the cherry Kool-Aid.
I think she's been on a bit of an island for the most of the season.
Which is why they might get rid of her, because she's not as indoctrinated. She's not really playing well and she's not getting great reads. She did put
she's
up Simone.
Premium gets murdered at the end of next episode.
I feel like because they haven't highlighted her either, she's almost not as bad, but she's like the Paul of last season where she's not really shown almost at all. She had a little bit of a laugh with the water in her hair in episode 5, but I'm looking at her probably getting murdered next when they choose to murder one of the next faithful. Probably at the end of episode 7 going into episode 8. Episode 7-8. And then I'm like, between these last few people, I mean, they're all not great. Keith, Sarah, Hannah, and Liam. That's like your final four faithful, which is just, Also, Annabelle said one of her biggest regrets, her top three, was putting so much time into Sarah and saving her in the first episode. And going for Corinne, she said she probably wishes she hadn't done that because she invested a lot of time every episode into Sarah. And it turned out Sarah was just wildly unpredictable and difficult to rein in and use as a number. And I'm like, yeah, that'll work for Sarah's longevity, but I don't think she'll win the game.
I don't know. There's no world Sarah's winning this game. Like,
no, it would be very unsatisfying. I feel like most of it at the moment would be really unsatisfying.
That's where I'm getting to now, Peridium, where, you know, usually I'm like, all right, traitors, woo, I'm riding with you. This season, I've been Team Faithful. Now that the best of the Faithfuls are gone, I'm like one more banishment away from saying, you know what? Burn it all to the ground and give Sam his money. Give him his money.
I'm already there. I need Sam to win at this point.
Actually, Camille probably is like the last hope.
No, yeah. I honestly don't have hope for her. I don't. After she banished Annabelle and all, and then she can't. I guess she's the one where I'm like, maybe she pulls like the Alex and she's like a little bit of a.
Well, she did say that with Annabelle going, they will get answers. And she's like the only one who said that and then came back with answers. I was like, okay. So I want to give her that.
Okay. I'll give her that.
I guess, yeah, we're team traitors. Burn it all to the ground.
If a faithful is going to win, I hope it's Camille. And I think you're right now that I think about it. She did vote Sam and she was on the Sam train and she could have been the one who got killed, but they got Simone voted out and I guess they could have murdered her, but she's in episode 7. I'll tell you that much. So they showed it. So I'm like, okay, she's either recruited or she's still, which if she chooses not to be a traitor, I will not be rooting for her. Most likely, because I just feel like that's not a good read at this point. But I ultimately am looking at the way this season is shaped up. And even though Sam has been cocky and I have so many notes where I'm like, shut up, Sam, like, yes, rooting for the people that are against him. I got to give him his dues and say, you know, as bad as some of his reads have been, some of his gameplay has been very messy, balls to the wall, and I wouldn't recommend it for most seasons of The Traitors. The fact that these faithful haven't done anything about it and are, in fact, sinking their own ship tells me all I need to know about who I should root for. And I think the tide is turning. I don't know for sure. And I might be a little disappointed if Sam loses at this point, which I did not predict. But I think that's the direction I'm headed in.
I still feel like, call me skeptical, but I'm like, there's no way you can ride this all the way to the end. But it's looking more likely given the cast of faithfuls remaining. So we'll see. We still have 2 weeks left of the show. Anything can happen. But I will say, if we get to next week and we get to the podcast and Sam is still in that house, I think we start writing that check because I don't know if he's leaving.
I've kind of written half of it already at this. I mean, you can tell from what I'm saying, but I just am looking like I don't have faith in really, and I don't think I want to have faith in Hannah.
They might be faithful, but I'm not full of faith, Peridium.
Seriously, how could I have faith in these people after everything we just endured? On top, it's not just Annabelle getting voted out. It's Simone getting voted out. I'm like, why aren't they showing us these people's strategy? Anybody's strategy. And it's because they don't have strategy. They're just winging it. And that's tough. That's really tough for me to get
behind. This is kind of the growing pains of the shows, though, where this is only season 2. So naturally, it's going to be a minute.
Is Annabelle the Jerry Manthe of the Traitors?
I could see that.
I mean, she's got a much better reputation, let's put it that way, than Jerry did after season 2. But I was like, season 2, a lot of dummies on the cast. She's the most vocal, rubbing people the wrong way, especially out of the gate. Sounds a little bit like Jerry Manthe. I mean, in my eyes, that's a compliment.
I felt so bad for Annabelle.
The original Black Widow of the reality TV universe. I'd say it's a huge compliment, but I feel terrible for what happened to Annabelle. Her end quote, by the way, just has to be like etched somewhere into the Hall of Fame of parting words for anything, for goodbye messages, for survivor snuffs, for traitor walking down into the curtains. Her last quote was so, you remember that with the polar bears?
Absolutely.
Oh my gosh. I wrote down so many quotes for episode 5. I want to just, what was it? Yes. Even when they're on the brink of extinction, polar bears will often eat their own young. And it would seem that the faithful are very hungry indeed, because I am a faithful. And I was like, take a bow, exit stage left, pursued by polar bear. Oh, chef's kiss. It's like if you're going to go down, and she knew it was over at that point. That's exact. She got the memo of how to play and how to produce good TV. And yeah, put her on the US, put her on the UK, just put her on. Oh, I don't know about maybe Australian Survivor, but either way, I would love to see her come back somehow.
I have to imagine that we will at some point culminate in a Traitors All-Stars. I think that will happen in the
future. I hope so. International would be fantastic too, with all the like English speaking ones. I know that probably won't happen, but I would love
that. Would be a dream, but
that would be incredible.
I feel like probably won't happen. Either way, though, I would say Annabelle's first ballot to come back. I think Luke will easily get an invite to come back as well. I don't think that's a debate. I felt so bad for Annabelle when she was, when people were talking about her putting on an act. She was like, no, I'm this toxically and annoying in my real life. And I was like, no,
love that.
Annabelle.
Oh man. And I felt, I'm like, oh, she, I, we both sympathize when the, when you're put into a corner and you feel like you've got all this mounting evidence and you're surrounded by stupidity and there's nothing you can do to convince it. Like there's that quote, you're, it's even worse to be in an argument with a stupid person because there's no way you're going to be able to win that. And it was a barrage of just ridiculous accusations that don't line up, that are on nothing, by the way. Sam came at Ash with nothing to his name, nothing but just a gut sus. And they're all like, good for Sam. And it's like, why can't you spend that same level of just generosity and throw it towards Annabelle's reads? And she came with some receipts too, by the way. Give her a chance. And Luke, by the way, who is a very good, anyway, I'm still reeling about episode 5, but like, I feel bad. It's just,
I'm sorry. The biggest thing to me still is we are in episode 6 and Ash went out, what, episode 3?
Episode 3.
Yeah. This man has survived 3 nights without getting murdered without the shield. Yeah. You have to start looking at him at that point. I'm sorry. You just have to.
Which tells me it's such a basic one-dimensional thought that if you don't operate on that, I don't know. Like, I feel bad for Annabelle and Luke because that is just so obviously like such a straightforward read. And this goes for playing Goose Goose. This goes with playing Among Us, Mafia, Werewolf, whatever. If you are so good, they'll take you out in a heartbeat. They took Luke out in a heartbeat. And of course they try to flip the script the following morning, but they're playing such one-dimensionally, these traitors, which is why I have a hard time giving them a ton of credit. But I will say for this season, they've got my backing at the moment. a lot.
All right. Spoken from the mouth of the number one marinator that I know, Peridium.
I'm going to do it again this weekend.
Yeah. So that brings us, I think, to the end of the podcast here. Definitely some. We went through a whole service today. We had some anger. We had some sorrow. We had some laughs. We had some praise. We had some damning. We've made some predictions. We have flipped teams. We have been recruited over to the traitors side. We are now rooting for the traitors, especially if Camille's involved as well. And all eyes to see who will take this crown by season's end. We'll find out soon come. But for now, Peridium, we are done here. Let the people know where can they find you and what other things you have going on at the moment.
Yeah, sure. You can find me on Twitter under my real name, Billy Geist. You can find me on YouTube, which is Peridium, P-E-R-I-D-I-A-M. Posting weekly videos currently on Big Brother. I talk all things Big Brother and Survivor. I will be soon double featuring, which I actually have never done before. I'll be having Survivor and Big Brother videos when they're both on in less than a month now, because Survivor 45 starts in 4 weeks. And I'm looking forward to talking about those shows. And of course, we'll be finishing out The Traitors Australia. And otherwise, yeah, just a new video on my YouTube channel every single week. That's what I'm up to.
There we go. Well, it is a lot of content coming our way with Survivor on the horizon as well. But I've been knee deep in content here. Of course, y'all can find me on Twitter at Puyaism. You can find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Puya. That's where I am when I'm not podcasting. So come through, say hi. I would appreciate it. And as far as podcasts go, I have 2 90 Day Fiancé podcasts this week. I had Brian Scallion on one. I had Chappelle on for the other. And then myself and Shannon Gus are back to talk about Traitors New Zealand episodes 7 and 8 on the road to the finale there as well, which has been a very good season. So definitely check that out as well. Last but not least, if you would like to leave a rating and review for this podcast or the New Zealand podcast, you can do both over on robinswebsite.com/traitors. That's TRAITORS. Leave me some 5 stars or let me know what your thoughts are on the show. We have 3 ratings so far. So thank you to those of you who did that. Try to get to 10 by the season end. Can we get there? 7 more. You know what? That's more votes than these faithfuls have. Okay. Let's see if we can get those. But I do appreciate y'all listening to us. We hope you had fun and we recruit you to join us next week on the podcast. But until then, take care. Have a good one. Bye.
guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say. Your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.